Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
All right. So we are in actually part five. I call it part four because Michelle Senegal did one of them. But, you know, we're in this process of trying to understand what Jesus was doing to prepare himself for this crucifixion, resurrection experience that he went through. And again, understanding that what we see in Scripture is symbolic of what we all have to go through. So Jesus was sort of, we call him our elder brother and way shower. So he was showing us the way to move from just pure human consciousness to evolving towards spiritual consciousness. It all deals with the idea that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, right? And it's, you know, sort of like we can't hear that enough because it's not always in the forefront of our mind. Does that make sense? Okay. So we need to keep reinforcing for ourselves that that's the process that we're going through, evolving. And, you know, if you look at some of the works like Paramahansa Yogananda, you know, he talks about the thousands and thousands of lifetimes that we go through trying to awaken to the truth of who we really are. All right. And to us, that might sound like a long time, but you got to remember that in the grand scheme of the universe, there is no time. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, what, you know, the lives we live of 70, 80, 90, 100 years old, in God's mind, that's just a blip. Sometimes, I actually read what they said, that's a comma. Or we just saw a movie, probably when I watched a movie where they, you know, they were looking at a gravestone and it said, you know, born 1921, died, you know, 2016. And this older man was explaining to a younger man, he says, our entire lifetime is symbolized by that dash. Right? You know, so that dash is what the lifetime is really all about. So anyway, so again, you know, how did Jesus prepare himself for that process? And he knew that was coming. Right? Before it even came up, he knew that that's what he was preparing himself for. So the specific focus of today's lesson has to do with learning how to heal those parts of ourselves that are keeping us from resurrecting into a new state of mind, a new consciousness. Okay? As I used to say a long time ago, there's a difference between resuscitation and resurrection. See, resuscitation is just something happened, you became unconscious, and they made you conscious again, but you're the same as you were before you became unconscious. Resurrection is you die to the old self, and you resurrect to a completely new self, all right? And as I've said, you know, many times before, we've been doing that all of our lives. You know, as we move through the different stages of maturation, we would die to the old self and resurrect to the new self, okay? You know, like, you know, those of you who have kids who are grown and married, you remember when they were kids and you were getting on their nerves, okay, with what you were saying to them, now they're getting on their kids' nerves, you know, because they've evolved to another level of understanding. So let's talk about, in this particular talk, this idea of healing. And healing begins when you learn how to accept yourself and love yourself where you are in the moment, with a willingness to evolve beyond the consciousness that's contributing to your present life's circumstances. Did everybody catch that? Want me to say it again? Okay, so healing begins when you learn to accept and love yourself right where you are in the moment, but with a willingness to evolve beyond that consciousness that is contributing to the present circumstances in your life that are unwanted, things you wish were not going on, okay? So how do I evolve beyond that, all right? But sort of love yourself in that moment. And it's interesting, I'll say this, but I'll explain it more as we move along, is also embracing what you're experiencing. as opposed to, oh, I wish I wasn't going through this. Okay? So, you know, I think the greatest challenge comes from being stuck in some situation, a relationship, job, health condition, or whatever, and not knowing what to do to become unstuck so that you can let go and move on. You know what I'm talking about? All right? And from time to time, all of us find ourselves in situations, whether it's physical or mental or emotional, that we would like to get out of, but for some reason we can't seem to find the way out, no matter what it is, right? And this is because getting out of an unpleasant situation is an evolving process, because it's thought processes up to that point, and a lot of times we don't like to hear this, that brought us to that situation. So to get out of the situation is more than just taking an aspirin, all right? And a lot of times, even when we go to the doctor, what they give us is just masking, but not really healing, that which we're going through. So we're talking about, how do I heal myself of what brought me to this place, all right? And so that's what we're trying to get to. We want to evolve. As we evolve, we begin to grasp and contemplate and embrace and implement these divine ideas that will help us to move into a whole different space in mind. So, never is it expected, though, for you to hear a spiritual principle and then be able to do it. You get what I'm saying? And I don't expect you to walk out of here and say, oh, Butch said do this, I'm just going to do it, I'm going to be good. It doesn't happen that way. As I told you, I even believe that my previous lifetimes, you heard me say this before, I was doing such crazy things in my previous lifetime, the universe says, your next lifetime, you're going to write 1,000 Sunday services. Right? I think I'm up to about 560, so I got more to go, right? So I know that a lot of stuff I'm talking about has to do with my own process. You know, we were watching Jeff Dunham. Who's seen Jeff Dunham with the puppets? And he says that all that he's doing through these puppets is about his own life experience. All right? So all that I'm doing in terms of talking to you in Sunday service is not that I'm trying to teach you, but I'm trying to teach myself, and you're just listening to me. Right? So, you know, so never is it expected for you to hear the principle and be able to do it, because living the spiritual life is something that you must develop a consciousness for, and consciousness evolves slowly in its own time. All right? And we call ourselves Christians. And becoming a Christian or a Buddhist or whatever your chosen path may be is something you must be consciously moving towards. It must be your intention to move towards whatever the path is that you're taking. So it's a process that involves dying and resurrecting, dying and resurrecting, dying and resurrecting many times until one day you awaken and find that you are no longer who you used to be or struggling with what you used to struggle with. See, we can all look back and say, right? And at the time we were struggling with it, we were going, oh man, how am I ever going to get out of this? But now we look back on it and go, that was nothing compared to what I'm going through now. Right? And, you know, and why is this so? It's because the thinking that caused you to react into the world in a certain way has been transformed, healed, and uplifted. So you are not in that space anymore. Okay, and so, you know, you've heard me say, I've used this quote before. I don't know how many of you heard it from Maya Angelou. And she said in her book, wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I like that. Wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. She said, I am startled when someone tells me that he or she is a Christian. My response is, really? Already? Said, it seems to me that it is a lifetime endeavor to try to live the Christian life. The idyllic condition of being a Christian cannot be arrived at or held on to eternally. It is in the search itself that one finds the ecstasy. That's incredible, you know? And it is. It's an evolving, ongoing process. It's like, you know, saying, I am a minister. I almost never say that, because I know that I am evolving towards the consciousness of being a true minister. Does that make sense? And so, but in essence, as you heard me say all the time, we are all what? Ministers. We are all evolving towards that consciousness. So it takes a lifetime to become a Christian or whatever it is that you are striving to be. And in the meantime, what you're trying to do is become unstuck from the conditions, the situations, the people that are troubling your life right now. And again, Maya Angelou said she could remember as a child looking up at her 6-foot grandmother and asking her the question, you know, how do you work through these challenging situations in life? And her grandmother says, I step out on the word of faith in God. Okay? So getting to that point where you can actually do what it is that you're praying about takes a lot of prayer work. All right? And I know that quite often the lessons taught about our ego are judgmental and pointed in nature. You know, the last 4 lessons especially, we were talking a lot about the ego. And you know what I mean. The ego is this or that. The ego needs to change. It needs to die or somehow to resolve its position of authority. However, let's face it. If it wasn't for the tenacity of our ego, we may not have made it through some of the difficult stuff in our lives. Okay? So the ego has gotten us to a certain point. Like John the Baptist, as we say, is considered in the Bible one who is evolved to the highest state of intellect. Or we can say the highest state of ego even, all right? Because we think of the ego and the intellect being matched. But, you know, Jesus said of him, he who is greatest on the kingdom of earth is less than he who is least in the kingdom of heaven. So what he's saying is, no matter how evolved you are in terms of worldly stuff and the use of your ego to get by, you still are nowhere near the one who is operating from a kingdom of heaven consciousness. And again, if you remember the works of David, David Hawkins. It's not Stephen Hawkins who just passed away, but David Hawkins. And in his scale of consciousness, he had, the scale goes from 0 to 1,000, 1,000 being Christ consciousness. And he had Albert Einstein at 540, but he had Mother Teresa at 720. You see? All right? So why? Because Albert Einstein was at a very, very, and Albert Einstein was a very spiritual person. Not spiritual in terms of how we think about spiritual, but spiritual in terms of he knew that this wasn't coming from him. That what he was espousing in terms of, you know, science and whatnot was not coming from him. But even with that, he wasn't operating on the same level of consciousness as Mother Teresa, who said things like, I am a tiny pencil in the hand of God writing a love letter to the world. You know, so it's a whole different sense of surrender in where she was coming from. So these lessons are designed to take us to the next level of awakening from ego to spirit. And the lessons are meant to cause us to become aware of our present state of consciousness, and they're designed to cause us to observe ourselves without condemnation for the purpose of considering what changes do we need to make. All right, so it's a constant process of observation. And the aim of self-observation without condemnation is to put yourself under advisement and become aware that this advisement comes from the Holy Spirit. You get it? You know, you're constantly under advisement. So things you think, you say, you want and do, and, you know, the way that you are, you're constantly looking at that and trying to get an understanding of, is this having the greatest impact of love in my world and on myself? All right? And if you can't figure out how you should be, then you put yourself under advisement, knowing that that advisement is going to come from the Holy Spirit. You're going to receive from the Holy Spirit how to be. And if we change the nature of our interaction with each other from judgment to observation, we may be able to learn more about ourselves by what we learn from observing each other. In other words, instead of me looking at folks and judging them, looking at them and observing them and trying to understand where they are in the process of evolving for themselves. All right? In other words, you may discover that there is an aspect of you that is reflective of where I am on my spiritual journey. And there's an aspect of me that is reflective of where you are in your spiritual journey. You see, if we could just take the time to just observe. Pam and I were in Williamsburg all last week, and we watched a lot of movies. Right? And we noticed a lot of the movies we were watching, and these are movies we never heard of before, but a lot of them were human interest stories where, you know, we were watching and going, got caught up in the dynamics of what happens in people's lives and how they work to get through them. one of them, I think, was called 100 Blocks, 100 Streets. It took place in England. And it was, I think, four different people's lives and the things they were going through. And I said to Pam, this is just, it's phenomenal to sit here and watch this and try to see how, because they were very realistic situations they were going through, and how were they working through that? And how did it make me feel in terms of how they chose to work through it? You know what? Would I have made that choice? Would it have been different for me? All right? And so that's what I mean by self-observation. You can learn a lot about yourself by just, you know, looking at each other. But I personally find it in movies, because movies are very pointed, you know, in terms of this is the process that's being worked through, you know. So, but, you know, we're so busy judging and condemning what we see in each other, we will most likely be less inclined to uncover and heal similar situations in ourselves. See, if I'm busy judging you, I'm not even getting the fact that what you're doing could be a reflection of something that's going on inside of me. And what you're doing is purely doing me a favor and say, hey, I'm being a mirror for you. You know, instead we go, oh, that ain't my reflection. All right? And so whereas we are merely, you know, if we are merely observing without condemning, we'd be more open to allowing healing to occur within ourselves and thereby giving a greater capacity to bring healing and loving energy to the people in our lives. Okay? And we're all, you know, we're all on an eternal quest trying to uncover our inner Christ self. And, you know, this is a case for each of us, no matter how we appear to be on the outside. So on the outside, we have many, M-A-N-Y, many, M-I-N-I, I identities. Right? And remember the Greek mask, the persona. So that comes from the Greek word persona. Per, P-E-R, means mask. And sona means through which you make a sound. So what we keep doing is we keep flipping these masks depending on who we're talking to and what's going on and what we want to show. All right? So we're never really showing our real self. There's always some mask we're popping on. Okay? So the key here is no matter what I'm showing on the outside, there's this process I'm going through of trying to uncover my Christ self. Now, if you ask the common person on the street, nobody's going to say, well, I'm trying to uncover my Christ self. But that's what everybody's doing. And we use Christ self, but I don't care if it's your Buddha self or whatever it is for you, okay? You're trying to discover the truth of who you really are, all right? Now, however, we cannot discover our own divinity if we are unwilling to at least hold the thought of the possibility of divinity in each other. I can't discover my own divinity if I can't see divinity in you. All right? And it's difficult, if not impossible, to inspire others to discover the depths of the spiritual truth within them if we are judging them negatively in any way. Just as it is difficult, if not impossible, to discover our own divinity if we're judging ourselves negatively in any way. All right? So, and yes, I do realize that there are many circumstances in which it is merely impossible to keep from judging the circumstances in a situation. The things you look on the news and it just kind of blows you away. It's like, how do I go through this? This is not a movie for everybody, only the people who like Star Wars and space stuff. But anybody see the movie Valerian? You saw Valerian. And there's a situation where this really voluptuous humanoid-looking society is living this very angelic life. And all of a sudden, spaceships fall out of the sky and destroy their world, all right? And in trying to recover their world, they had to do some things and get into some battles. But the weapons they created, when they shot them at you, they covered you in a substance and put you to sleep. And then you would eventually wake up. So they weren't killing anybody. They were merely trying to get their world back. And they, you know, at a point they said, we can't forget, but we do forgive. You know, so, you know, I use that as an example. I mean, you destroy an entire culture, and they said, we can't forget, but we do forgive. And so that's sort of the process. We look at these things on the news and all, we go, oh, gosh, you know. And we have this energy about it. Well, that's a good thing. Just observe your energy. Say, how do I feel about this? And how would I choose to respond, you know, Would I come from love, or would I come from some form of fear? All right. Does that make any sense? So it's like you're involved in it all the time. You're constantly evaluating yourself in the world and how you're viewing that world. Okay. So it does help us discover that we have a lot of work to do on ourselves. And that is the basis of this series of lessons, Keeping a True Lent. I like that word. Keeping a True Lent is about the journey to discover the truth hidden deep within ourselves, which is simultaneously help us to discover the truth hidden deep within each other. And Charles Fillmore, in his book, Keep a True Lent, he says this: Lent is the idea of cleansing and disciplining both mind and body towards the end of making them more receptive to the Christ idea. Cleansing mind and body. And what are you cleansing your mind and body of? All that negative junk food stuff we just consume. You know, the same thing in terms of, you know, but when we're younger, we can deal with junk food a lot better. As we get older, all them junk food and calories, they ain't going nowhere. Right? All right? So you find yourself beginning to, you know, cultivate a better way of taking in nutrients. All right? It's the same thing with your mind, a better way of taking in only those things that you need to grow spiritually. All right? And, you know, the truth is, in spite of how we are expressing in the outer, that may cause us to be falsely judged, we have hidden within us the power and the presence of the love and wisdom of the Christ. So no matter how this person shows up or we show up, we have hidden within us the love and wisdom of the Christ. So this whole spiritual quest is about discovering that inner power and presence, but it is not going to happen overnight. And it's not something we can force just because we are intrigued with the possibilities or because we want out of our present situation. Oh, man, I don't like what I'm going through, so I'm going to embrace the Christ. It doesn't happen like that. You know, it's an evolving process. And the discovery of our inner depths is something that must be cultivated, nurtured, and allowed to grow. It requires perseverance and patience. And actually, the first thing we must accomplish before we can successfully begin to keep a true Lent is to develop the endurance to approach this spiritual process with patience. Okay? You cannot impatiently try to force open the veil that you created that blocks you from your inner Christ presence and expect it to stay open with natural ease. And that's what Jesus said. You know, he said, you heard that the veil was torn in the temple from top to bottom. Well, the temple is within us. The veil is what we created that keeps us from knowing that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. All right? And we created that veil. So that's when I was talking about the ego. Within the ego, that ego seed is the Christ potential. Well, we were born with pure Christ potential. But over time, as the ego developed, it created a shell around that Christ potential. So now all you can see, all we're aware of, is the shell and not the inner essence. And that's why Jesus said, unless that seed falls into the ground and dies, you can never experience your imprisoned splendor. And the way you let that seed fall to the ground and die is through prayer and meditation, entering into the silence, all right? And the more time you spend in the silence, the more that shell around the ego begins to break and fall away to release your imprisoned splendor. Does that make practical sense? Okay? So you cannot impatiently try to force the veil open, all right? No more than you can force open the petals of a rose before their time and expect them to stay open and continue to reveal the inner beauty. You can succeed in opening the petals and view for a brief moment that beauty that's inside of it, but the rose will quickly die and fade away because it was denied the time for natural growth and unfoldment. Okay? The rose has inherent within it the patience to await the natural unfolding and revealing of its inner beauty. It never seeks to rush the process, but instead is naturally patient with itself, with its environment, and with every stage of development. All right? And somehow the growing plant knows and understands that the place in which it finds itself is the place in which it finds itself. This is where I am. This is what I'm going through. This is what I'm experiencing. Okay? So it remains at ease, knowing that this too shall pass. It remains steadfast in gratitude, quietly listening to the natural inner tuggings, urgings. It's, you know, guiding it to expressing its next stage of innate potential. It just waits and lets the process unfold within it, all right? But this probably is what Jesus was referring to in the parable in Mark 4:28 when he said, the earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the ear, then the grain in the ear. Jesus was explaining that everything happens at the right time and that the next stage of development cannot occur before it is time. Ecclesiastes 3:1 through 11 expresses, for everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. There's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what was planted. What gain has a worker for their toil? I have seen the busyness that God has given everyone to be busy with. He has made everything suitable for its time. All right? Now, the thing for us to learn and understand as we strive to keep a true Lent is the place in which we find ourselves is the place in which we find ourselves. Everything happens in its right time. God has given every one of us the busyness we are to be busy with. Does everybody understand that? So, you know, you're going through whatever you're going through, right? Well, that's the universe saying, we say God has given, remember, there's no anthropomorphic being who say, you know, like a teacher said, this is your assignment right now, okay? It's really our soul that knows that in the moment, this is what it needs to go through in order to fold to the next level. Remember, if you go back to Gary Zukav's Seed of the Soul book, he says that the entire soul does not incarnate. The only part of the soul that incarnates is that part which you say, in this particular lifetime, this is what I want to work on. You get it? So we're here working on this particular thing. And so the soul is saying, all right, this is the next thing we need to go through. And then this is the next thing we need to go through. Now, the key is you don't have to go through it in that sequence if you learn your lessons in the previous sequences. You get it? But if you're not paying attention, and that's the key. If you're not paying attention, then it seems like the universe keeps wrapping you through similar situations until you finally wake up and say, wait a minute. The thing that's standard in everything that's happening is me. Wherever I go, there I am. All right? And until I wake up and understand this, I'm going to keep going through this cycle. And God is not doing this to me. The devil is not doing this to me. You don't know, you know, man, we don't, the devil is not a critter. It's a stage of mind. It's the adversary. Okay, the thoughts in our minds that are adversarial to God thought. All right? None of that is being doing it to you. We are taking ourselves through the process because there's a higher part of us that knows we need to go through that until we wake up. All right? And our salvation comes from realizing that this place in consciousness where we find ourselves is not a permanent place. It is for us to remain steadfast in gratitude, quietly listening to the natural inner tuggings, urgings, and things that are guiding us to express and move on to our next level of consciousness. Okay, so it's not for us to wallow in the moment. Rather, it's for us to remain steadfast in our faith in the eternal presence of the Holy Spirit and know in our hearts that this too shall pass. Okay, I think many of us have had experiences that we were in for so long that we thought we would never get out of them. Okay, I think I tell you the one for me that I can remember the most is when I had that pain in my back for 6 months, that when the person says, from, you know, 1 to 10, where is this? And I said, this has got to be 15. You know, I was in so much pain. And I never stopped doing what I kept going to school and teaching and doing all those things. And my instructors, department chair kept saying, man, why don't you stay home? Let us do it. I just kept going. And that lasted for 6 months. You know, you reach a point after time where you say, you know, am I ever going to get past this? But what I did learn as I became aware of it, that I kept saying, I can't wait to get back. I can't wait to get back to what I was doing. This was trying to help me to understand that there was no going back. Once you understood you can't go back, once I got it, then the pain started to go away. So I use that as an example for whatever you're going through, because a lot of times we're saying, oh man, I can't do what I used to do. Well, a lot of us in here can't do what we used to do. And I was in the thing working on my talk, and the top of my magic marker fell off on the floor. I said, nah, I'm supposed to get down and pick that up, right? So some of the things we just know we can't go back to, right? But as a species, we are too impatient. We want what we want, and we want it now. Okay. Now, I really don't think that is necessarily a bad thing in a material life, but I do know that impatience can create a great amount of discomfort when it comes to the spiritual growth and unfoldment that we're trying to go through. Patience in the quest of the spiritual life is definitely a virtue. Okay? And it appears to be a reality that we cannot grow beyond our present state of consciousness until we are ready to grow beyond our present state of consciousness. All right? We cannot grasp a deeper level of understanding of our indwelling divine potential until we are finished with the present level that we now find ourselves. Or should I say, it's probably more accurate, that we cannot grow to our higher level of consciousness until where we are is finished with us. You get it? So this thing you're going through, it says, you know, you're trying to pull away from it. It says, nah, you haven't gotten it yet. I'm going to hold you here until you get it in terms of what you need to do in order to move to the next level. Okay? But do we ever really know what causes that point to occur where we suddenly know that we're truly finished with our present way of thinking, with our present circumstances and dilemmas, with our present relationships and their challenges, and finally are ready, really ready to move on? It's like when Jesus went through the five pools of Bethesda, and you heard me say that the reason why it's five is because that represents the five senses. So he's entering into the five senses where all the sick and afflicted, and all that sick and afflicted, that sick and afflicted thoughts in our own mind, he comes upon one individual who's crippled, and he says, you know, why are you still here? And he says, because every time the angel comes down and she stirs the water, and you know, if you stir the water and you can get in while the angel's stirring the water, you'll be healed. He says, I couldn't get into the water. And so he's making excuses to the Christ as to why he can't pick up his bed and walk. And Jesus was saying, that's all an illusion. That's real. Just pick up your bed and walk. And he'd been there for 18 years. 1 in 8 is 9. 9 means when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. All right? And so the key is here is that when you'll know that time when you're sick and tired or whatever it is you're going through. And it's written in Acts 1:7. It is not for you to know the time or the period that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. All right? And that's what you need to understand is your personal peace of God is the Holy Spirit. All right? That is your aspect of God. Remember, God, the virtual realm, is nothing but infinite potentiality. There's no personal anything in that. All right? It is pure love. Not loving you, it's loving what? Everything. It is just love. Okay, it's like they say, gravity is the universe's love holding us to the earth. It's Mother Gaia holding us to herself so we don't do what? Fly off into the universe. Okay? All right? But the thing of God that is personal to you is the Holy Spirit. So the what, who, or where, you may ask, you say, what, who, or where is this Holy Spirit, you know, from whom I'm going to receive this power? Well, according to the revealing word, the Holy Spirit is the love of God taking care of the human family. So the Holy Spirit is that aspect of God that's taking care of the human family. The Holy Spirit is in the world today with great power and wisdom, ready to be poured upon all who look to it for guidance. The mission of the Holy Spirit is to bring everyone into holy communion with God, to guide everyone in order that they will not mistake the way into the light. So when you're, again, you're just lost. You don't know how to get past what you're thinking, feeling, going through. It's the Holy Spirit that's there guiding you. The trick, though, is the guidance you receive oftentimes is not something that makes any sense to your intellect. That's the tricky part. All right? So when you're asking God for help, You got to be willing to be changed at the core of your being in order to understand the help that's being given to you. Because the help may tell you to step into something. You may be standing in something deep, and the help may be step into something deeper in order to help give you the strength to move through what it is you're trying to get through. So even though we do not know the time or period when we will be ready to move from one state of consciousness to another, we can at least be comforted by knowing that there is a power greater than ourselves that does know, that's always with us, guiding us at every step we take, that knows when we are ready to make a significant shift in consciousness. There is something that does know. I don't know. But say to yourself, but I know within me there's something that does know. See, that's the comfort. Okay? And we can learn from the rose to remain at ease, knowing that this too, whatever it is, will pass. We can learn to remain steadfast in gratitude, you know, quietly listening to that natural inner tugging, urging us, guiding us into expressing the next stage of our indwelling divine potential. And whether we know it or not, or like it or not, we are all on an eternal quest to uncover the divine potential that lies in our inner depths, the inner depths of our beings. That's what we're doing. It may look like something else, but it all comes down to that, all right? The key for each one of us is to not become discouraged because of our present condition or circumstances or state of mind or whatever it may be. The key is to remain vigilant and patient, knowing that the Holy Spirit is working in you, preparing the way for you right now. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, I go to a place you know not of. What he was going to is deep within you, all right? To prepare you for when you do get that deeper, those deeper guidances, there's something deeper inside of you now that's prepared, knowing how to work with that. Does that make sense? Okay? So, and I'm going to end with this. This wonderful gift from God that we all have and will receive, it only can come to you through patience, prayer, and a deep sense of thankfulness. And so it is. Amen.